Chase Claypool's been back this week at Steelers training camp as they wrapped up training camp Thursday, and he's looked really good. We're going to listen to a clip from Brandon Marshall, who mentored Claypool during the offseason, and hear about what Claypool's done to get better. And we're also going to talk about, can this offense be that dynamic with three wide receivers who could be classified as wide receiver ones? Join me to talk about that, Matt Canada, and who we're going, what we want to see out of the quarterbacks on Sunday is Josh Taylor of 93.7 The Fan. I'm your host, Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video. If you enjoyed, hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content whenever we have extra episodes to upload. We thank you for making us your first podcast listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Elias. This app lets you access team and player stats, head-to-head team comparisons. Give yourself the edge this NFL season by finding the Elias Game Plan app in the App Store or Play Store today. Joining me, as I said earlier, is Josh Taylor of 93.7 The Fan. We haven't had Josh on for a minute. He's been on like a couple vacation trips. I've been at training camp, so it's been tough. But we're glad to have you back, Josh. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's been a weird little like carousel, if you will, of between like working and being on the road, and it's been strange because my wife has taken a couple trips out of town with my son to visit my in-laws, and I've kind of had to be like the ferry in between, like to kind of take her halfway, and then my in-laws pick her up halfway to Jersey, and then they keep going, and I had to make that trip like, what, two or three times now, so it's like between that and trying to maintain a work schedule and other stuff happening, it's been kind of crazy, and that's all while training camp and the preseason's going on, so the regular season is about to start, and I might already be gassed,
right.
So that's not a good way to approach the season, but that's all right. I might need a Mike Sullivan maintenance day here and there, but
well,
I'll be all right.
Well, let's get to the preseason, and the Steelers have a preseason game this Saturday against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville, and it looks like this is going to be the healthiest we've seen the Steelers. Now, I want to get some quick news out of the way. Cam Hayward did suffer an injury at training camp. Everyone was freaking out because he was reportedly carted off, but he came back, signed autographs, seemed like he's fine. He said he rolled his foot, and he seems like he says he thinks he's fine. So Cam Hayward might not play this Saturday, but it does seem like the worst was avoided and everything's good there. But the biggest thing that a lot of people are talking about now this week is that Chase Claypool returned to practice and has looked very good in practice, catching the ball away from his body, making really good contorting catches, getting his toes down in the end zone, and making plays after he makes the catch. That's been good to see. And it kind of begs the question as far as like, well, wait a second. We've been hyping up George Pickens. Everyone's excited to see Deontay Johnson back on the field. Now you're telling me to be excited about Claypool? This gets really interesting, Josh. And I want us to listen to Brandon Marshall, because Brandon Marshall, who visited Steelers training camp about a week ago, and he got a chance to talk to me. I wasn't there. Nick Faribault was there. I've Locked On Pitt and the SteelersNow.com website. He got a chance to kind of sit on the interview. I want you to listen to Brandon Marshall talk about what Chase Claypool's had to improve and what he has improved and how that's going to impact his game. Here's Brandon Marshall.
I think physically different on the field from Chase.
Well, for me, it's more so about the line of scrimmage, right? Like, he has to win there first. I think he does a great job there, and that's just more reps. And it's going to be tough. You have two quarterbacks battling out. They have to build their chemistry and continuity. They have to learn each other. Those guys, when they drop back, they have to understand his body language, what he's doing. He has to know, oh, this is the time where it's probably going to be a back shoulder, or it's probably going to be over top. Let me keep going. There's so much to it. For me, he's already physically gifted. It's about mental, just taking his time, taking it one day at a time, and whatever happens, happens. That's the only thing he can control. That's it. Right. So whether it's, going up and getting the ball, whether it's releasing off the gym, he put the work into this offseason. It's already there. That's great. But we're going to put the whole thing together. How to get off the gym, how to read coverages, when to sit in certain zones. The biggest thing for me, I would say, is, hand combat. You know, like, you got to win at the line of scrimmage, right? Like, how do you release using your leverage, using your God-given ability, all the other stuff he already has? If I'm being honest, just reps, right? Like, when I was in year two, year three, I was super talented, but I was able to get 1,000 reps at this one look. And then I was like, oh, this is probably the way I should do it, right? And it's just reps, right? Like, who he is today is going to be totally different than how he looks on opening day. How he looks on opening day is going to be different when he's in mid-season form. How he looks in mid-season form is going to be totally different from 3 years from now, right? Just got to get out there and just put a championship routine in place and stick to it. And whatever happens, happens, and be happy with that.
One thing that Brandon Marshall kind of gets at there is a common thing that I hear from wide receivers coaches, and that you can't, it's a lot harder to finish your routes when you're not starting your routes strong. And that's something that I think Chase Claypool has run into. I noted this in his rookie year back when he was playing very well in 2020 and even last year. When players got into his face and jammed him, if he didn't beat that jam, he was done. And it took him off his route, took him out of his timing, and it messed things up. One thing I've seen from him in training camp is that he is getting better in his jams and his ability to, or excuse me, how to beat the jam, how to beat the press. And that's allowed him to kind of be a little bit better in the times we've seen him at training camp. Now, we haven't seen him a whole lot because he's been hurt, but you know, Josh, this is an interesting situation where I really do think that if Chase Claypool is able to put those things together that Brandon Marshall's saying, he gets back to being that kind of threat. You know, everyone was laughing and saying and making jokes about him, saying, hey, I want to be a top three wide receiver. But he does have those physical components that if he puts those things together, he is a supreme threat like that.
I think this is one of those things that, and this is what's annoying to me from time to time. When you hear fans talk about, or even some of our own colleagues talk about, the quality of coaching and what they're learning or being told. Meanwhile, this is a situation where the quality of coaching that and instruction he's receiving is probably the difference maker. Because between Brandon Marshall, and I'm glad he pointed out his own experience, because Brandon Marshall was an extremely physically gifted receiver.
Yes, he was.
I think anybody who watched him play it close, I think anybody he played against or played with, would tell you that, man, some of the stuff that this guy could naturally do was just absolutely phenomenal. So I'm glad he pointed that out, because the thing that made Brandon Marshall so good was, and he talked about earlier in his career, and I'm sitting there thinking about the trajectory that his career was on. And as he got older, and like finally when he got to that sweet spot, like in the prime of his career, he was so physically good that he was a matchup problem for anybody he faced. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was because he had become so sound in how he did everything. And it's hard to stop a receiver that is so sound in their technique. It's what made Jerry Rice a Hall of Famer. He was so technically sound, and to the detail, he had everything mapped as to what he wanted to do. Antonio Brown in his prime was so incredibly technically sound, and he wasn't as physically gifted as a Brandon Marshall or Chase Claypool. But that technical, just, I don't want to call it wizardry, but that just that technical detail that he had down to the T really made the difference in how good he was. And I think he's right. I think Chase Claypool is one of those rare talents. You're blessed to be that big, that strong, and that fast. You got to be able to do the things to accentuate those gifts that you have. There's a difference between talent and skill. Talent is what you are given. Skill is what you do with what you have. He's always had the talent, but it looks like he had to tweak the skill a little bit. And if he's tweaking that skill to match his talent better, then the sky becomes the limit for him. I actually agree with what Brandon Marshall's saying.
I agree with it too, in a sense. And it makes me wonder who becomes the X factor of this wide receiver core. And the X factor isn't just the number one guy, but a guy that becomes a game changer that teams can't cover in the biggest moments. We're going to talk more about that in just a second here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Dave. Now, if you don't know about Dave, Dave is a banking app that's here to help you get through your day-to-day struggles of making ends meet, keeping up with your expenses, and making sure that you're not paying over what you actually can. Dave is also a banking app that offers you the opportunity to get extra money with what's called extra cash. They can help you get up to $500 instantly if you download the Dave app and apply for extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, catch up on bills. You can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. And there's no interest and no credit check needed. Millions of people have downloaded the Dave app for free, and they get the financial relief they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch and you need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E, Dave. And you can sign up for an extra cash account to get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. That's dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Josh Taylor. Back to our wide receiver discussion. It is clear to me, at least, Josh, and I had a discussion with Frisman Jackson last week that we put on the show, and he talked about he wants his wide receivers to be positionless. He wants everyone to be able to line up wherever they're going to line up and just go at it with what they're being asked. But to me, Chase Claypool, with the size and the speed and the abilities that he has, I truly think if you line him up in the slot, and he gets back to making plays, and he's being your threat over the middle, he's going to add so many more headaches. While you have Deontay Johnson, who naturally can line up outside, get you great separation wins out there. You see what George Pickens can do on the outside and in the preseason game. You got to see him continue to grow, though. This makes it a serious question. Who becomes your X factor at that point? Because you have your expert separator in Deontay Johnson. You have George Pickens, who we're just getting to the top of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg there, just seeing what he can do, and it's already making us say wow every day in camp, and apparently every day in the preseason too. And now you're talking about Chase Claypool. If he does the things that Brandon Marshall has tasked him with doing, and if he has the kind of season like he's having the week of training camp right now, it makes a tough question. Who becomes that X factor for Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph? We'll get to them in just a minute, but it's a question that I think isn't as easy as we thought it would be about a month ago.
I'm glad you mentioned Frisman Jackson, because in the last segment I talked about the instruction that Chase Claypool's getting, and I didn't mention Frisman Jackson. And I also didn't mention the receivers that played under him at Baylor. And they talked about just how much of an effect that he had on them and the detail that he provides there. I remember an interview that Calvin Austin III did. It was the day where they practiced over on the south side because they got pulled from Latrobe because of the weather. And Calvin Austin III talked about just what Frisman Jackson and Mike Tomlin have been telling, especially the young guys, the rookies, about what they need to do. And he said both he and George Pickens, they hear what they're being told. Like, they talk about it afterwards because they were roommates during camp. And they get together and they talk about what these guys are saying and what they need to do, and they're absorbing that. So if the rookies are absorbing that, and a vet, and it's kind of crazy to call Chase Claypool a vet, but he's a few years in now, so you got to call it what it is.
He's a vet. He's three years. He's a vet.
Yeah. So, like, you're 3 years in, you're a vet. So if a vet like Chase Claypool, who has those physical gifts that we talked about, if he can absorb that as well and raise that level, now you're talking about, like you mentioned, you got three different guys who could probably be a one on any given day, maybe on any given roster. That's how physically talented they are, and each guy brings something different to the table. The thing that scares me is each of these guys being healthy, playing to their potential, and performing when they're called upon. If that happens, and I understand a lot of things have to go right, but that's one of those things where, you know, you always go into a season, you wonder what could go wrong. What if this person gets hurt? What if this guy gets hurt? Well, this is one of those seasons I look at that position and I go, what if everything goes right? And then your brain does that blue screen of death when your computer crashes because you're trying to compute in your mind just what those three guys can do. So to answer your question, I really don't know.
Yeah,
I kind of don't know. And that's what scares me, because each of these three guys, especially if they all start as strong as I think they're capable of starting and maintain it through the season, any one of those guys could be an X factor, and it may come down to, and this is the thing that we have to keep in mind, because not every day is the same, not every week is the same, not every game is the same, and more importantly, not every opponent is the same.
Right.
It may come down to matchups. You may have a team that might be strong on the outside, and Chase Claypool in the slot is just chewing the team up. You might have a team that has a guy that's physical enough inside that wherever Claypool's matched up, they might have a guy matched up with him trying to slow him down. And then maybe Deontay is the guy that goes off, or maybe Pickens is the guy that goes off. It may come to a point where teams may have to pick their poison. as to who they deal with. And that's not even mentioning the fact we haven't talked about Calvin Austin III. We haven't talked about Gunnar Olszewski, who looked really good in that first preseason game. And we're also not talking about the tight ends like Pat Freiermuth, who might as well be considered another receiver in that offense because he's just as capable, especially in the red zone. It really comes down to a lot of different factors as to it may be a different guy each week.
Yeah.
And that's really a problem. That's really something you think about. And you start to have the smoke coming out of your ears.
That was something that I thought was a big part of their 11-game win streak in 2020 that I don't think it's talked about enough. If you go back and you watch back at the game, look at who was the leading receiver each week. One week it was Juju. One week it was I'm trying to think back to all the guys back then. One week was James Washington. One week was Deontay. You couldn't pinpoint who the ball was going to. Sometimes it was Eric Ebron. And defenses couldn't pick onto it. And that's why, like, and I, as a person, a lot of people would criticize me of hating Ben Roethlisberger. But during that stretch, especially like the first eight games, I was saying, man, Ben is being slept on for the way that he's picking apart defenses. And that stopped in the second half of the season. And he started to fall off a cliff. He wasn't able to keep that up. But if you have an assortment of weapons like these guys and they're getting open, it gives you opportunities. And I want to hear from you a little bit about what you've seen from Matt Canada's offense in that first game, because it was really funny. Someone in the comments section, I apologize for getting which user on our YouTube comments section said this, but they dropped the message like, Chris, you need to play a clip. That clip when you and Josh were talking about Matt Canada's offense and you were saying what they would be, because someone remembered that you and I have been saying this offense under Matt Canada could do a lot of special things. And we saw the first glimpse of it in that preseason game. And my response to that person is, I agree. But the problem is, which clip? Because me and Josh probably said it 1,000 times this offseason and people just kept blowing by it. And I'm like, okay, you do that. And here we are being excited. And again, it's just one preseason game. It's just the Seattle Seahawks third stringers. But you saw the guys being consistently open. And they didn't have their top two receivers, their top two running backs, or their top two tight ends. I know, I'm tired.
You sound the way I feel, so it's okay. I'm trying to add it up in my head because this is kind of in real time here. I got at least like maybe a half dozen, whether text messages or DMs or Facebook messages from either family members, people I work with, or people I know. And they're like, you've been talking about this the whole time. Now we see what you're talking about. Shout out to Pat Dam. He's like, wait a minute. So this offense actually can move the ball this way and exploit this and exploit that and actually score touchdowns in the first drive of the game. I said, now you see where I was going with this, right? I literally had the discussion with somebody today on Twitter, and we were talking about Connor Hayward being utilized at fullback, getting some reps at fullback with the first team. And my comment during the game was on Saturday was he's going to be moved around because this is Matt Canada's offense. Because having an H-back or a fullback or tight end type guy that could do a lot of different things is one of the staples of Matt Canada's true system. Think back to Pitt in 2016 when George Aston. That was the role George Aston had. And remember how George Aston just tortured Penn State?
Yeah.
At that position, just doing a bunch of stuff. This is what makes this offense great, is because it's not going to be the same thing every week. There's going to be a personnel grouping that probably shines one week. There's going to be one that shines the next week. Or there's going to be one where you're going to see the fullback a lot this game. And you might not see a lot the next game. And it's not because this guy didn't play well enough to be on the field. It's just like, look, we're going to do this because this is what it takes to win. And this is what makes this offense fun, because they can do a lot of the things that they're going to do out of different personnel groups, out of different formations, and different down to distance, and they can still do a lot of those same things that they want to do. So regardless of what look they give you, regardless of what personnel's on the field, they can still find something to exploit and get the ball to the guy who's best suited to get the ball. I'm going to do this analogy one more time. I started doing this analogy almost 6 years ago, the day they beat Clemson. It was my first day on the air at 93.7 The Fan. And one of the things I said Pitt needed to do to beat Clemson was that Matt Canada needed to have a flawless game plan. And I said, Matt Canada, when it came to Nathan Peterman, Matt Canada was Will Smith and Nathan Peterman was Kevin James and Hitch.
Oh, geez.
And he's telling him, look, you ain't got to do nothing crazy. Just sidestep side to side, elbows 90 degrees. You'll need no pizza. They got food there. And my reasoning behind that was, the way this offense was built, you don't have to do anything out of the ordinary. The matchup that you need in the passing game specifically is going to be there. You just got to find it, get the ball to the right guy, and get out of the way. And Nathan Peterman probably went to the NFL based on that season of what that
That's what got him there. Otherwise, he would have been just another guy.
All he had to do, get the ball to the right guy, stay the hell out of the way. That's all he had to do. This offense now, it's probably going to be a little bit different because quarterbacks give a little bit more leeway in the NFL. But it's not too different in the concept of get the ball to the right guy or at least find the right matchup, execute it, and then let watch it go from there. And that is what I've been talking about. You and I have been talking about this so much. If defenses don't know what's coming, there's no way they're going to be able to pick out where the ball is going. If defenses can look at a formation or look at a personnel group and be like, we don't know where the ball's going, and then they start shifting, then they start using motion, and all that stuff pre-snap is designed to give the quarterback every clue he needs to figure out where the ball's going. So by the time the ball snapped, they figure out where it's going, they get it out, and they make that play. And everybody's like, man, how did this all happen? Well, that was pretty much their plan going into it. That's what they wanted to do. And that's what this offense is designed to do. And I'm going to say this again because I keep hearing this criticism of, oh, the Steelers are out here running this college offense. Let's go back to 2016 when Matt Canada was putting up all kinds of points with Pitt. And there was an offensive coordinator of an NFL team watching Pitt play Syracuse and hanging 76 points on Syracuse. And they're like, man, they're using some stuff that we can use with our offense. Mm-hmm. Like, we should try some of that. So that offensive coordinator eventually gets promoted that next season. But he goes back to his head coach and says, let's try some of this stuff. And it just so happened that same year they drafted a rookie quarterback. He didn't play a lot his first year, but he became their starter the second year. And a lot of stuff that they were looking at implementing that they watched from that Pitt game that first year, they implemented it that second year. That team was the Kansas City Chiefs, and that quarterback mm-hmm. was Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. So if you really sit there and keep telling yourself, oh, they're running this college offense, something I got to break to you. A lot of the stuff you see in the NFL probably originated in college football or high school football. You just didn't hear about it. And that's exactly what this offense has become. And you're seeing teams, and it's not just Kansas City. The LA Rams are doing stuff like this. The Packers are doing stuff like this. The 49ers did stuff like this with Deebo Samuel. There is nothing new under the sun. It just so happens that they're able to fully unleash the capability of doing it now. They're unleashing the capability of this space station, if you will. Oh, that is Zach Rashear Stadium with this offense. Star Wars nerds, if you know, you know. But I'll wrap it up with a bow at this. And you and I have talked about this so much. I kind of giggle when I see people's reactions to it because I'm like, look, I've been telling you this all along. But the truth of the matter is we haven't even seen when they get into the specific stuff yet. We haven't seen when they've game planned for certain defenses yet. We haven't seen when they're saying, let's exploit this weakness or let's try to exploit this part of the field or this part of the actual defense. Let's try to exploit the second or third level. We haven't even seen that yet. So if you think this is fun now, wait till it gets more specific in the game plan. That's when it gets fun.
I think it's going to be really fun. What's also going to be fun is watching the quarterbacks go at it again this weekend. That's going to be something that Steelers fans want to see. Hey, was that a fluke? Was it just a one-time thing? How do they do? We're going to talk about what the quarterbacks could do this weekend against the Jaguars and what we expect to see of them or what we think they should try to show from them. We'll talk about them and what we expect from the order of how these guys will play in just a minute. But first, we got to talk to you guys about BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a service that's here to help you with your day-to-day. It's a therapy service where you can find therapists online that can help you sort through the things in your life because life is full of twists and turns, and it's important to make sure you're showing up yourself through each and every one of them. BetterHelp has online therapy sessions that will help you assess your needs and can match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. Talk about your personal experience with BetterHelp when you go to a technician or a therapist and they're going through everything that you're going through. They help you organize your thoughts when you're struggling with something. Sometimes when you're up close and you're looking at your life, it's tough to back away and organize, hey, this is what's actually bothering me. This is what I need to go through. That's something that a therapist has helped me go through in my life. It has helped me better attack each day and be the best version of myself each and every day. It's not a crisis line. It's not a self-help line. It's actual professional therapy done securely online. and made available to people worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. With therapy, it can take a few tries to find the right fit for you, but BetterHelp makes it easy and free to change therapists if you need to do so. And they have a special offer for all of my listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's betterhelp.com/lockedon. Again, 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp, HELP.com/lockedon. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. He's Josh Taylor of 93.7 The Fan, KDKA-TV, and all the places you can find him. Josh, I want to get an assessment from you of the quarterback position because, you know, it's been very interesting. You know, I've said good things about Kenny Pickett, the people who think that he's terrible get mad at me. When I've said bad things about Kenny Pickett, they call me a hater. The same things apply to Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky. And I can't win for saying anything, you know, when I'm, but all I'm trying to do for y'all is tell you who did well, who didn't, and when they did well and when they didn't. And it seems like people get really emotional over this quarterback battle. But this is going to be interesting because it does appear, by all cases, that Kenny Pickett will be the number two quarterback in this preseason game. That's how he's worked all week. That tells me Mike Tomlin wants to see him work with the number twos and maybe even some of the number ones at some point during this upcoming game. But you're also going to see Mitch Trubisky probably play a lot more than just two drives in this game as they have the full complement of the offense there. And I think that's going to be something that gets really interesting because reports from practice right now at training camp is that Mitch Trubisky has been on fire of late. He's been feeling it. He's been getting his rhythm. And this was what I said was coming way back in week one when you had players, you know, you had Mason Rudolph kind of outperforming. And I said, hey, Mitch Trubisky's probably going to catch him once he gets the playbook under him, once he starts to understand things. And here we are. And Mitch Trubisky has been outperforming him for several practices now. And we're at that point. But now the question is, what do you need to see from these guys? I'll also point out that it seems clear, and our friend Dale Lolly of DK Pittsburgh Sports and Steelers Nation Radio, he tweeted out, it looks like Jaylen Warren has become the number two running back already, even supplanting Benny Snell, and it's more so going to be Snell and McFarland batting out for the third spot. We've talked a lot about him. But, Josh, let's talk about the quarterbacks. What do you need to see from Mitch, Mason, and Kenny in these spots, and who do you think wins this? Because Arthur Motes came on this show just yesterday and said he thinks that Kenny still has a path to be QB1 this year. I didn't think so.
I don't question Arthur Motes a lot. Motes not only is a guy who knows, you know, the pulse of this team, having been a former member of this team, Motes is also one of the better guys in the locker room. I can't think of any players other than Arthur Motes that you went up to after a game, win, loss, regular season, postseason, didn't matter. He was always smiling. Literally always a smile on his face.
Yep.
And they season could be over. Motes is still out of his locker smiling. Like, that's an impression that was always left on me. But to answer your question, and I'll break it down for all three. For Mitch Trubisky, keep doing what you're doing. That first drive against Seattle, he did everything he needed to do. And all he really needed to do was what Mike Tomlin talked about. Move the offense, protect the football, be efficient. And that's what he did. He did that in that first drive. It also helped that Anthony McFarland in the run game were sinking pretty well in that first drive. Because he came out of the blocks really making some big plays in the run game too. So if the run game is fired off well, if the offensive line is getting off the line and getting on their blocks, all Mitch Trubisky has to do is flow right with what the offense has given him. And I'm going to come back to this again. Find the ball, find the right matchup, get the ball where it needs to go, and get out of the way. Mitch Trubisky does that. I think he'll be just fine. For Kenny Pickett, since I'll list him second, since he's not running with the twos, after he did what he did in that first game, I thought they gave him every opportunity to show how he handles different situations. And I also have to give Matt Canada the credit for that first drive that Kenny Pickett was in. That first play. Play action, roll out, hit Jay Sternberger, get a nice gain, get his confidence up, get him into a rhythm. And right after that, boom, jet sweep. Like that was Matt Canada being Matt Canada at the right time. And Kenny Pickett just went right along with it and did everything he needed to do. And that's why it clicked the way it did. I also love the fact, and I got to point this out, that first drive, they get to the end zone, they score a touchdown. Great individual effort by Jalen Warren that I got to point out. And I'm glad to see him get the opportunity as a number two back because I think he's earned it. I remember the show. I want to say it was you and Tony Serino talking about Jalen Warren and Mike Tomlin going, okay, 3-0. I pointed that out on Twitter at one point. I'm glad to see him get that run. But they went on that drive and scored the touchdown. What does Mike Tomlin do?
Go for two.
They go for two. They bring in Connor Hayward. Stick route. Boom, they convert two. I'm sitting there going, that's a great first drive. That's exactly what you want out of your quarterback, regardless of who it is. Kenny Pickett, I want to see him doing what he's doing. And the thing is, and I heard a lot of people complaining, we didn't really throw that before, and the ball didn't really go in the air that much. Who cares? He did what they asked him to do.
Right.
That's all. Do what you're told. Do what you're asked. And then I know for some people, the way it happened probably felt a little bit boring. Now, I've already found a Hitch reference in this show. I've already found a Star Wars reference in this show.
What, you're on for another movie? Oh, God, I can't take
it. You know I'm never above a Wire reference in a given show.
Oh, okay, a TV show. All right. Give me your Wire reference.
Quote prop Joe when he told Stringer Bell.
I know.
Keep it boring. Keep it dead, bleeping boring. Yep. Kenny Pickett, keep it dead, bleeping boring. Do what they tell you to do, whether it's down the field, whether it's short yardage, whether it's avoiding the rush and rolling out, picking up yards with your feet. Do the boring thing that needs to be done to move the ball down the field, and I think you'll be fine. And I know some people are like, well, they need to take more shots down the field. They did just fine, not going too crazy. So just imagine what happens when they get the opportunities to do that. Another thing that this offense does well is it takes what you're given. Kenny Pickett took what he was given, and it turned into 13 of 15 for 95 yards and two touchdowns, and also a two-point conversion, and one of those touchdowns was the game winner. And that particular play was just getting the ball to the right guy who happened to be open, and he makes the play and gets into the end zone. Kenny Pickett, keep it boring. Do what they tell you to do and keep it boring, and the rest will take care of itself. Mason Rudolph, play like your career depends on it. And I don't even mean your career in Pittsburgh, because it might mean your career in Pittsburgh or it might mean your career somewhere else. Because you hear a lot of players saying you're either playing for this job or your next job. Mason Rudolph needs to play like his career depends on it. Because even if he doesn't win the gig here, he's got a shot to win the gig somewhere else.
He does. And
a good example of what he put on tape to get himself a gig somewhere else if he doesn't end up here, that touchdown pass to George Pickens, someone's going to sound tape and be like, yeah, we could use that. Even if it's our number two guy. If our number one guy goes down, if he could do that every once in a while, we'll take that. So for Mitch Trubisky, keep doing what you're doing. Kenny Pickett, keep it boring. Mason Rudolph, play like your career depends on it. And all three guys, for the record, all three guys, to their credit, all played well and did their job in that first preseason game. So it's hard to find anything to pick at.
That's what makes it interesting here, is that all three of these quarterbacks have upsides and good upsides, not just like, oh, we're forcing the upside there. And I think you're very right about Kenny Pickett. Who cares if you didn't get dunked? Tom Brady made a whole career out of picking you apart so much underneath that you got so frustrated that you jumped the underneath route so he could hit you over the top with the deep ball that was easier.
Drew Brees. Drew Brees was another guy. He could rock you to sleep, and the moment you got comfortable, right over the top. And even if it didn't have a lot of air on it, it was still accurate. He was going to find his man. Didn't matter how it got there, but it got there accurately, and he could find a way to beat you. And if that's what Kenny Pickett does, just taking those small opportunities here and there, and then you rock him to sleep, and there you go. Find that big one right there. And he's capable of doing it.
He's capable of doing it. We'll get to see him do it reportedly with the second team offense and maybe some of the first teamers that stick in there a little bit longer. It's going to be exciting this Saturday. We're going to break everything down on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Again, thank you for checking us out here on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. We'll have some reactions after the game. Might take me a little bit. I have some things I'm doing this week, and I'm not in Jacksonville. I will be in Pittsburgh. I'll be handling some business here. But we will have a show, so do tune in Sunday as you get my reactions, or even Saturday night if I'm able to get up that early. But do tune in with the Locked On Steelers podcast. We'll have all the reactions breaking down, you know, win, loss, bad, good, all the things from that game. And also next week, keeping it rolling as we roll into the final week of the preseason. Josh, thanks so much for joining us here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Social media, Josh Taylor HD. That's the easiest place. Pretty much any app you can think of, you plug it and you'll probably find me. As far as radio goes, 93.7 The Fan, just like the Locked On Steelers podcast, listen on the Odyssey app. I have Chris on a lot on my show on Sunday mornings. So if you want, listen to me and Chris live, and then go and listen to Locked On Steelers podcast after the fact. We'll probably talk about a lot of stuff that's going to cover a lot of bases between both places. On the TV side of things, CBS Pittsburgh, after the game Saturday, woo! I will be doing a special edition of the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. I believe it is me and Paul Zeiss this week. Last week I was with Chris Hoke. This week I'm with Paul. So after the game, you'll have the Extra Point post-game show. And then right after that on KDKA, it's me and Paul Zeiss who are breaking this game down. 412-575-2600. Give us a call. Tell us what you think about the game. We'll talk about it.
Absolutely do that. Josh does a great post-game show. I was actually enjoying watching you as I was coming back from the game, from the last one. So do that. Josh, thanks so much for joining us here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Read my work on Pitt Athletics at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you want to help out the show, one, like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, but also go on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. Do both at the same time, and you get a shout out at the end of the show. Like this person, we have Matthew. Because he put a lot of T's in his name, which I guess it would make Matthew. Anyways, Matthew gave us a 5-star review that says, entertaining, educational, and unbiased. Chris does a great job of keeping me on top of all the latest news regarding the Steelers and an easy-to-listen daily podcast that do not drag on for too long. He has a great cast of rotating guests, like yourself, Josh, to add to other insights. One of my can't-miss daily routines. Keep it up, Chris. Matt from Orlando. Matt, thanks so much. Another example of how Steelers Nation stretches everywhere. Thanks so much. I also want to point out, I do apologize. There have been a lot of people who have left voicemails. I haven't had time to get the voicemails because it's been training camp. And we've been every day just cranking stuff out, getting new interviews, all those types of things. We will get back to the call line at some point. Please be patient with us. We will get there. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy watching the Steelers Saturday. We'll have an episode Sunday on YouTube and our audio platforms, breaking everything down right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.